Jesus, I thank you for your word that you've got in season for us today. I thank you for your truth that you have in season for us today. Lord, I pray that you'll show us that thing that you want us to hear, that our lives will be transformed, our hearts will be changed, and we will see more of you for who you are. Lord, I pray that you'll speak through Andrew. We'll hear your voice and we'll receive your freedom. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I'm just recovering from the last moment. That's good. Hey, when you see a whole church stand and people online, it's good. Happy New Year! Are you happy? We're alive. That's right, we're breathing. I think it's a funny thing to say, it's a happy new year. What if I don't want to be happy? Bad luck. Oh, I refuse to be happy, Willie. This morning I want to talk about encouragement really, but you ever met those people that are happy all the time? Well, half of it's denial, you know that. Because no one's happy all the time. Life's hard. You know how I know that? Because Jesus said it. He said, in this world you will have trouble. There's a disappointing verse to memorize. But he said, after that, take heart, for I've overcome the world. But I think we don't do ourselves any favors, friends, if we pretend it's okay when it's not. We're not helping ourselves. We're not helping anyone else. So it's really important if people are discouraged that we get honest about it and we validate that. Sure, we don't want to stay there. But I think before, you know, what's the first step in the program? Admit I've got a problem. Well, I think it's the same in emotional journeys is, hey, if I'm discouraged, I'm discouraged. End of last year, I don't know if it was discouragement or just tired or I think it was a bit of a discouragement. I was just unmotivated. And I just didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to do stuff. The stuff that I normally enjoyed, I didn't enjoy. I thought I feel like I'm on the road spiral down to some form of depression. Like it wasn't heavy, dark, too bad or anything. It's just, I'm not motivated. I'm not my usual self. I'm not. And so I want to talk about that this morning because, you know, you might be happy, happy New Year right now. And that's awesome, right? Enjoy that while it lasts. But there'll come times this year when you're not so happy. And then what do you do with that? Do you hide at home under the doona? Well, that's how some people cope. Or do you go to someone and say, I'm discouraged, can you pray for me? Do you show up to church anyway? Because you believe God has a word of encouragement for you that may just shift something that needs to be shifted that takes this from discouraged to encouraged. And so this morning I want to talk about how do we get encouraged. Discouragement is a state of having lost, this is just a dictionary definition, having lost your confidence or enthusiasm for something. You ever lost your confidence? That's bad, isn't it? Hey, that's bad. Or your enthusiasm. You know, I don't find it hard to get excited about some things. So when I'd end of last year, when I was not excited, I'm going, oh, this is not good. This, I need to take notice of this. What's going on for me? When we've lost our confidence or enthusiasm for something. And lots of things can cause discouragement, can't they? Ongoing difficult circumstances of all types. Difficulties come in all kinds of ways. So I want to look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. I had coffee with a friend this week and he gave me a word out of the blue. And it's from this chapter and that's where this sermon's come from because it's a word in season for me. And it may be a word in season for some people this morning as well. To be encouraged. Because God has a word of encouragement for us always. And I pray we have ears to hear that this morning. The Hebrew Christians, they were Jewish Christians and they were being persecuted. And it says in the book of Hebrews, not to the point of losing their lives, but some of them had lost their property. I mean, that's pretty depressing, isn't it? If you own some property and it's confiscated because you're a Christian. I mean, that happened in Iraq only a few years ago. That's something to get discouraged about, isn't it? So here the writer to the Hebrews is trying to bring a word of encouragement, more than trying, bringing a word of encouragement to the Hebrew Christians. What I love about God is he knows how much we can take. You ever thought about that? Now it's usually more than we think we can. You ever notice that? It's like, God, I'm done. He goes, oh, I'm just going to squeeze a little bit more. Because he wants to see what's really in the tube of toothpaste. Do you know that? We don't really know what's in our hearts until we're squeezed, friends. And some of the stuff that comes out my mouth some days, I think, Jesus, you still got a work to do. Hey? We don't know what's in the tube of toothpaste on the happy days, friends. Oh, good day. It's the dark days. It's the hard days. You know, Hebrews 12 says, consider hardship. Consider. Now I forget the verse. God is treating you as sons. How can I forget a verse like that? Anyway, the idea is, in that verse, or Hebrews 12, 1, is God is allowing difficulties to test us and mature us and to help us grow up and grow deep in Him. So it's easy to say Jesus is the answer to everything on a sunny day. But when we can say Jesus is my answer today, even though it's dark, man, that'll get someone's attention. And the world might see that we've got something that they haven't got and they can't get any other way. See, you know what? I'm not actually interested. I am very interested when you're having a good day, but I'm also very interested how you're trucking on a bad day. Because that's when it's real, friends. That's when it's authentic. So when we're discouraged, God wants us to know that He has not forgotten us. Hebrews 6, verse 10, I love it, says, God is not unjust. Isn't that good? God's not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. When discouraged, I don't know about for you, I've always believed in God. Even 2 or 3 years when I rebelled against Him, I always believed He's out there somewhere. I just want Him to mind His own business for a while, right? But I've always believed in Him. But on my dark days, I feel like He's hiding or something. It's like, where are you, God? Have you forgotten that I've got some issues that need your attention? Hey, it's so easy to go there, isn't it? Where are you, God? Seriously, I would like you to just show up soon. I love this where it says, God is not unjust. Galatians 6, verse 7 says this, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Now, too often we see that verse in its negative context, and the negative context is true too. You know, if you sow bad stuff, you're going to reap bad stuff. It's a principle. But how often have we reflected when we're going through a struggle that this verse is also in the positive? If you have sown good stuff, sooner or later you're going to reap good stuff. And I thought, wow, I don't think I've reflected on that verse enough in the positive. I've sown lots of good stuff over the years. You know, acts of kindness and love and encouragement. And so how often I've thought, well, you know what, I've got a whole bunch of fruit I'm still yet to reap. We often don't think of it, do we? I need to think like that on the days I'm discouraged. That God is not unjust. That He's a just God. And the good stuff we've sown, we will reap. Hallelujah. And that He's not forgotten me. I love this. If you know the story of David, who was a shepherd boy who became king, he remembered that David was out in the field. You know, if you think God's forgotten you, remember David was in the field when all the other sons were lined up and they thought, well, David was forgotten intentionally by his father, I think, but he wasn't forgotten by God. Joseph in a prison. God hadn't forgotten Joseph. I'm sure Joseph felt forgotten in the prison. Moses fled into the desert. I don't think God didn't forget Moses in the desert. He probably felt forgotten, lost in the middle of nowhere. God knows where you are. Doesn't matter how many times you change addresses, He knows your address. And He has a plan that's bringing it to fruition, and He knows where we live. So this morning, be encouraged. God has not forgotten you. Secondly, if we're encouraged, we need to remember that faith combined with patience is powerful. And this is the verse my friend shared with me this week. It just blew my mind. I'd never seen these two together like this before, but this is really key, friends. If you're having to endure something, we do not want you to become lazy. That's a good verse in itself. But to imitate those, and imitate really means to take on, follow the example of, not fake it till you make it, means actually take on the example, do what they were doing. So do what those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. For example, people like Abraham in the Bible. But hear this verse where it says faith and patience. The word of encouragement a friend directed me to just the other day, I'd never seen how these two work together. One Bible teacher calls them the power twins, faith and patience. Faith, when our faith starts to be worn down, when we have been believing for a long time or through very difficult circumstances, our faith can start to fail. But patience strengthens our faith. Patience says to us, keep believing because God's delays are not God's denials. Just because he hasn't come through yet doesn't mean we heard him wrong. If God has promised us something, then he will deliver. You know what? I thought my lesson last year was self-control, and that was a good lesson. I'd avoided that for a number of years. And then to find out just this week that God had been working on my patience. How disappointing is that? You've probably heard me say, this is a problem with pride. You probably heard me say, I think I'm one of the most patient people I know. Well, I am quite patient, right? And how do you feel when you go, well, God, I think I'm trucking all right with patience? He goes, nah, not really. Really? And you know what God does when you need to grow in patience, don't you? Gives you something to wait for. That's such a dodgy lesson, God, really. Hey, seriously. Just because he put in us the Holy Spirit, right? When we put our faith in Christ, he's put the Holy Spirit in us. How do you expect the fruit of the Holy Spirit to manifest if there's not an opportunity for that to manifest? So, yeah, I thought when I prayed for patience, God would just go, and I'd be patient. That would be great. Have you heard that prayer, haven't you? God, I want to be patient now. It's never going to happen. And the more you pray that prayer, the longer you're going to wait for stuff. Seriously, I'll stop praying it. No, I'm just joking. Yeah, actually, I hadn't been praying for patience and God grew it anyway. Does that make sense? God doesn't care whether we pray for more love, joy, peace. He probably does. But he's so committed to us. He's so committed to you that he's not going to wait for you to pray for patience before he gives you a new lesson in it. Does that make sense? I had this thought this week, you know, I thought, I don't know if Joseph actually did anything right. And God still got him in the right place at the right time to fulfill God's purpose. Yeah, sometimes we think we're so good. You know, we just stuff it up and God just makes it work anyway. Because that's how amazing he is. And the good news about believing that is not getting down on ourselves that we can't do anything right. It's about God doesn't need us to get it right for to fulfill his purpose. We're saved by grace, not by works, not by anything that we have done. Doesn't that blow your mind? Hey, doesn't that level the playing field? I'll tell you why I'm not competitive. I can't find any relevance to competitive in the Bible. So just chuck that out right now. Hey, it's not a competition, friends. We're all on a level playing field. We're all in the same race, following the same guy at the front called Jesus. So be encouraged. Faith combined with patience is powerful. So when your faith starts to wear down, that's when patience really kicks in. And that's what I've been learning this year. I didn't even know I was learning it, right? That my faith, you've heard me say, my faith has really grown this year. But I think what happened at the end of the year, my faith started to wear out. And I never realized that patience can actually work with my faith to kind of undergird it to say, no, keep believing. It's just a timing issue. You just got to wait a bit longer. You ever felt God say that to you? Just wait a bit longer. Sometimes, you know what, I'm okay with waiting as long as I know God's in the waiting. And reminded this week that while I'm waiting, God's working. I'd forgotten that. How easy is it to forget stuff? You know what, I've watched myself preach a few times this year. That's embarrassing. You know why? Because I've forgotten what I preached about. The good news about being on video, you can go back and go, oh, yeah, I said that. I better start living it. What good accountability that is. Hey? How easy it is for us to remember the truths God's revealed to us. What truths do you need to remember this morning that God taught you last year, last week, last month, or 5 years ago? And we just forget them. That's why it's so important to journal and read back through those journals. Say, ah, Actually, I knew that. Sorry, God, I forgot about that. I need to put that back into practice because that worked really well for me back when I was using that, doing that. Number three, be encouraged because God's good on his promises. I love this. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by. You know, I've been looking for a JP the last few weeks. You know how hard it is to find a JP these days? God didn't go looking for a JP because he wasn't qualified enough. God was the most qualified person. So how does God sign off on something? He can't find anyone better than himself to sign off on stuff. So he has to sign off on it himself. What a cool concept that does. It's a bit abstract, isn't it, really? God signs off on his own stuff. God's his own JP. Now why? Because God's the only one he can trust. He can't trust anyone else. And that's why we can be encouraged that God is good on his promises. If he's promised you something, he will follow through. Why? Because you get it right? No. Because he's God. And you know what? Who he is holds the universe together. So if God, it says, where is it? Verse 18, and it's not on your screens, but it goes on to say, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. How good is that? God can't lie. How good? How many times in your life have you been lied to? Here's a better one. How many times in your life have you lied to yourself? I can't even trust myself. I thought I was patient. God thought I wasn't. Lying to myself. Hey? But God never lies. That's why we can trust him. And that's why we can trust him to come through. And follow through. I don't know about you. I think used car salesman's got a bad rap. Hey, how would you feel if you had a passion to be a used car salesman? Well, if I had a passion to be a used car salesman, I want to change that culture. I want to change that belief system. People could say, oh, a used car salesman. You just think, oh, that guy wants to rip you off. Like, what? I'm sure there's used car salesmen out there who actually are very honest, genuine people. So you're struggling to believe that right now. See, what about real estate? What do I say about real estate agents? You're going to the same place. You know what? When we say Jesus Christ or God, a lot of people go there too, you know. Sometimes God and Jesus have had a bad rap. That's just not true. Jesus has never told a lie, and neither has God. And sometimes they get blamed for stuff that they had nothing to do with. Hey? But we can be assured that God is good on his promises. We can be encouraged that if God said it, and you know what, in the context of this passage in Hebrews, what they're talking about is salvation is the main thing. That if I put my faith in Jesus Christ, I'm going to end up in heaven. And that's a good place. And even better than that, if I put my faith in Jesus Christ, heaven's going to come to earth through me. Man, imagine that happening. How amazing that love of God could come to earth through me. Hey, that almost sounds a bit egotistical. Well, it's got nothing to do with me. It's got everything to do with when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, his spirit comes and lives in me, and I can then start to carry peace. You know what I carried for the first few years of my life? A truckload of anxiety. But by the grace of God, I can bring peace into a room. It's good on the days I remember I can do that by the grace of God instead of bringing anxiety into a room. And whatever else God, you know, absolutely, if God didn't say it, then, you know, it may never happen. And it's important not to make assumptions. But, you know, when you feel God has promised you something and you've tested that word, has come through other ways as well, you've had confirmations on that. And you know this thing, probably is a good time at the beginning of this year to talk about vision and the death of a vision. You understand the death of a vision? See, we often forget about the death of a vision. When God gives you a vision for something, it's exciting and things fall into place and you start to get momentum. And then write this in a journal somewhere, don't, or on your mirror. Don't forget the death of a vision. The death of a vision is when then the vision is tested. And sometimes some of the wheels fall off and it gets hard. I mean, this happens in our Christian life as well. You become a Christian, the sky's bluer, the grass is greener. 6 months later, you think God's left you. It's just the honeymoon period's over, friends. And it happens with vision as well. So when we go through that death of a vision, nothing's changed. God's promise still stands. It's just it's going through a testing time, especially a testing of our faith. If God says that it's going to happen, what usually rocks our boat is it doesn't happen when. I thought this week maybe I should do a message on timing, God's timing, sometime, you know. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon because I just don't get God's timing. Like, I'm happy to keep studying that, but I just can't work God's timing out. And I'm not sure I ever preach on it because I think that God just wants us to trust him. Hey, God just, he's not often going to give us real specific timing. You know, normally God says, wait or now, doesn't he? It's like, bam, things happen. Wow, this is amazing. That's the now. Other times it's wait. That's all God gives us. He doesn't give us much other schedule besides that. Doesn't seem to be. Anyway, my last point is be encouraged. Jesus made a way is verse 19 and 20. And I love in here it says Jesus is our forerunner. Forerunner into God's presence. You know, I think sometimes we forget how hard it is to get into heaven. You got to be perfect to get to heaven. You got to be perfect to get into a relationship with God. I was trying to think, as an illustration, somewhere I've been locked out of that I've never been able to get into. And I couldn't think of anything. I'm sure there's a situation. I've broken into my own cars. I've broken into my own houses. I don't reckon I could break into church. It's pretty secure. But like sometimes we think heaven's just easy to get into. It's not, friends. It's not. And see, if we don't realize how hard it is to get into heaven, how hard it is to get into a relationship with God, then we kind of devalue who Jesus is and what Jesus did. See, it's like I can never get into the CEO's office because I'm down here, right? But Jesus is like the CEO's son, and he's the one that got into the CEO's office. And because I'm in relationship with the CEO's son, I can get into the office. Does that make sense? So Jesus is our forerunner. He made the way. Now because I have faith in Jesus Christ and what he did, I can rock up into Dad's office anytime I want. Because he now treats me like a son too. How good is that? Where before I met Jesus, if I said, hey God, he's like, who are you? I don't know who you are. True. We don't emphasize that part of the gospel enough, friends, I don't think. Therefore, we don't celebrate what Jesus did. If it wasn't for Jesus, we can't get in. We can't get in. So praise God for Jesus. And he's a forerunner. What does that mean? We just follow him in. Have you ever gone somewhere and you're a bit unsure? I'm not the most bold person in the world. And I love having a little buddy with me who's been there before. Hey? And they're like a forerunner. They take you in. Well, Jesus is our forerunner. He takes us to the Father. And therefore, we don't need to fear judgment or death or anything else because Jesus is our, he's with us. And Jesus, you know, when we get to heaven, Jesus is going to say, oh, he's with me. How good will that be? Hey? He's our forerunner. And it also says we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Wow, our soul needs to be anchored, doesn't it? Derek Prince uses this illustration of the anchor a bit like this. He says, you know, when you drop an anchor on a boat, if you just drop it halfway and it's in the water, like it's not going to anchor anything, is it? But when it hits the bottom and it gets hooked on a rock, then your boat's anchored. And he says the bottom of the ocean where your anchor hooks is like Jesus. The water is just everything in this world that's temporary. And if your anchor's hooked to the temporary stuff, friends, you know, jobs, finances, opinions, it's just your boat's going to go off with the current. But if we get that anchor hooked into Jesus, he is the anchor for our soul. This is what I want you to do this morning in conclusion. The band can probably come up now if you like. You probably haven't got enough pen and paper there to do this, so you might want to start on your phone, but it's something you probably need to do at home this afternoon. And that is, if you are really encouraged today, if you're pumped, if you're at the top of your mountain, then write a letter to yourself that you can read on the day when you become discouraged. Does that make sense? And today, if you're discouraged, spend some time reflecting on the last time you heard God real clear in what he said to you. Does that make sense? Because it's important to go back to the last thing God said to us, even the last few things God said to us. You know what David said, did when he was discouraged? He encouraged himself. I'm glad I caught up with my mate for coffee this week and he gave me a word of encouragement. But in some ways, I should have known better and been able to encourage myself. There's sometimes when, friends, we just need to stand on the last thing God said, stand on his word and start speaking to our own soul and encourage that thing out of discouragement. Sure, lean on other people. Sure, get other people to pray for you. But we can also encourage ourselves. So as the band plays, you know, stand and worship if you want to. Sit and write if you want to. But I encourage you to do those things, to reflect on. If, you know, write something encouraging to yourself if that you're in a space of encouragement today. But if you're in a space of discouragement, then remind yourself. Go back to that place when God last encouraged you. Just want to pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God of encouragement. Lord, that you're not intimidated, you're not put off, you're not going to judge us when we're discouraged. You're just going to say, come to me. Get a word of encouragement. Allow me to speak life into your soul again. So thank you, Lord, that you are a God who encourages. Your message, your words, who you are is encouraging. Thank you that we can trust you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would lift our spirits today, that you would strengthen our hearts and our minds today through who you are and by your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.